Good morning, everyone. It's Friday, January 22nd. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, brought to you by Hilbein Auto Body. Remember, if it happens to you, take it to Hilbein. And believe it or not, my car's been to Hilbein a couple of times. But I didn't ask them to take out every dent, so there's still a few dents there. So don't judge their work by my car. But one time it wouldn't even run, and they got it back running, you know, because the front end was so offsides. But anyway, thank you, Hilbein, for sponsoring this. Today, we're going to devote our Mary Griffith Show to the Republican candidates for Quincy Mayor. And up first is Mike Trope. We'll have Paul Havermill later in this hour. And so we just want to start by saying good morning, Mike Trope. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mary, for having me here this morning to talk to you and your listeners.
You know, I mean, I think this is one of those elections. People are always talking about elections, but the local election is the most important election. And so let's talk a little bit about what is your vision. If you're elected mayor, you have to win the primary first, of course, but if you're elected mayor, what is your vision for the city of Quincy?
Well, you know, I appreciate that. Quincy has a solid history, and we have strong assets. You know, if you look, Quincy has remained a building materials and supply hub. We are a home to significant industrial organizations. We are a base of educational institutions that are quite strong in this region. And over the last, decade, maybe 15 years, we've become a medical destination center. So Quincy has very strong assets. And I think, you know, the saying, Quincy is the gem city, is still true today. My vision is to still focus. My top three priorities are to focus first on infrastructure. I think we need to maintain our roads, alleys, sidewalks, and maintain safe drinking water here throughout Quincy. It's critical. The second area is jobs. Quincy's lucky to have significant number of primary wage skill jobs available. We need to help our largest employers, both industrial and in the healthcare community, recruit skilled workers to fill those openings. The other part of the job component that's critical to me, being a small business owner myself, we've got to help our small businesses here in town. They've been hit hard with COVID. I'm glad to see things are opening up now, and businesses are they still aren't fully available to operate, but they can open their doors and operate again. We need to help them grow because, again, a community that has strong small businesses is generally a thriving community. The third component of my focus as mayor is in law and order. It's important to maintain public safety. I support the police, our fire department, first responders. And we need to make sure Quincy's safe not only for our residents but for the visitors that are coming, you know, throughout our community.
Talk a little bit now about your background. What makes you qualified to help infrastructure, creating jobs, and maintaining law and order?
Yeah, I have broad experience. So I have over 34 years of local government service. I have 22 years experience as a small business owner, and I've had 15-plus years being a chief financial officer for a couple international companies. So I think all those experiences working in private business settings as well as government settings give me a better, well-rounded background to help address specific issues that the city of Quincy has.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, if you're going to have infrastructure and a healthy job market and a small business thriving and you're going to maintain law and order, you got to have some money. And sales tax revenues are not growing in Quincy. Now, that may just be a short-term trend in the last 2 years. But sales tax revenues, which the city depends on heavily, have been on a downward trend. Where do you see revenue coming from to support these lofty goals you have?
Well, I think by having the businesses open up, I'd like to see more businesses locate in Quincy. I think the downtown district has tons of openings, but we also along Broadway have a lot of retail space that's available. And so providing the information as to how strong Quincy is to attract businesses, which then will sell products and services, will help increase those revenues that we need. Remember, Quincy is still the largest community in a 100-mile radius. We've got a lot of assets. There's communities our size and even larger that don't have the job openings that we have. To me, those are assets. Okay, we need to help market to attract those people here. They're spend money locally. And are we going to have a tough time, you know, in 2021 or 2022? I don't expect anything within the city government to be easy for the next few years, but I think that's why someone with my background is a better choice to come and not only serve as the CEO of the city, but to help the entire community grow and prosper.
Well, you've brought up a question that just came to mind while you were talking about that. Quincy is a hub, and the mayor of Quincy is the mayor of only the citizens who live within our border, but the mayor of Quincy is a leader in our tri-state region. So while only Quincyans get to vote for mayor, the mayor of Quincy is a title that really extends beyond the city of Quincy's borders. So let's talk about that. When you talk about, you know, sales tax revenue, there are some people who would say, let's raise sales taxes because, after all, many of the people paying those sales taxes are not from Quincy, but they're driving on our streets. They're using our ambulance service. The police officer has to come if there's a fender bender. What about a sales tax revenue increase to offset declining sales tax revenues?
Yeah, you know, Mary, as a conservative Republican, things have to be extremely dire for me to even consider any kind of an increase in sales taxes. That's not even on my agenda or on my opportunity to say, hey, do we need to take a look at it? My goal is to operate the city, you know, with the various tax rates that we have in place today, not looking that we have to increase taxes. To me, what I've done in every other organization that I've served, both private business as well as in the government sector, is you have to spend either the investors' money or the taxpayers' money wisely. You have to be smarter with how you spend that money of other people's money than you do your own money. And that is something that I think I've got proven background, you know, if it's working at the county, the ambulance service, or currently as I'm still serving on the Quincy School Board. We've got to be very careful, diligent on spending taxpayer money, and we've got to make sure the expenses that we're approving are worthwhile.
So you wouldn't perceive then even an increase in property taxes, which are only paid by citizens of Quincy. Well, I guess there's some landlords maybe in Florida, but primarily property taxes are paid by citizens of Quincy. Sales taxes are paid by the community at large. So sure. You don't anticipate a property tax hike either.
You know, I've met with a lot of taxpayers and a lot of business owners over the last couple
of
months.
How many have asked you to raise their taxes?
None. Okay. That is absolutely. And matter of fact, you know, when I say, what's your single largest issue? That's taxes. Okay. Now, I'm not here to promise that we're going to be able to reduce property taxes. Government, unfortunately, can only provide services with taxpayers' money. Okay. So are we going to ever eliminate taxes? You can't. That's just not going to be possible. Before, you know, what I like is being transparent. And as I get elected mayor, I want to continue serving the people throughout the city of Quincy and this region because we are an influencer. But we're going to be clear, before there's ever a request for a change, especially any kind of an increase, the community will be well aware of that. It won't be a surprise. I hope I don't have to do that, but not sure. You know, we're in Illinois. We don't know how the governor's going to react to Quincy. We don't know what's really happening with all the sales tax revenue, the property taxes, you know, et cetera. Are we going to be successful recruiting more people? Are we going to get more development throughout the Quincy area? Those are all factors that will help fix or minimize our tax problem or our funds problem. So it's hard to predict everything that's going to happen, you know, over the next 6 months, let alone the next 4 years.
Okay. Mike Trope, Republican candidate for mayor of Quincy, in the primary against Paul Havermail coming up in February. Let's dive in then on your top priorities, infrastructure. And I'm glad to hear you say drinking water is part of that. We often talk about streets. We take our drinking water pretty much for granted. I hit a pothole every day, but I always turn on the tap and it's always there. I don't test it every day, though I assume it's safe. So let's talk about infrastructure because, man, we've got some big issues here, and it does take money to solve these problems.
Absolutely. You know, I've met with Kyle Moore, and I've met also privately with Jeffrey Conte, who's in charge of the city's, you know, projects.
Streets and water and the whole shooting
range. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, they presented how they work on a multi-year plan, prioritizing the different maintenance issues, repairs that are needed. Can we repair every street that has a pothole, sidewalks, et cetera, in 2021? No. That's going to be an ongoing issue. I do like what the city's done in recent history. When instead of just repaving the street, they will come in and say, look, the sewer here, the water system, we need to redo all of these. So they take a little bit more time, but they will repair the water. They will look at the gutters, the sewers, and then put the pavement on the surface. You know, it used to be, I'm sure you remember, Mary, that you'd see the street get redone, and 6 weeks later, there's another crew out there digging up a hole to replace a broken water pipe.
Because all that heavy equipment rolled over and broke the water pipe, the ancient water pipe underneath.
Yeah.
So infrastructure is number one on your hit parade, and I realize you don't necessarily have to rank them. All your children are your favorite. But infrastructure, that is a big taxpayer issue. People want clean drinking water. They want roads that they can drive on without, you know, killing their car. So, again, though, it all costs money. So you're more in a maintenance mode than an ambitious program going forward? Or
well, I think, you know, over the last few years, the current administration has done a lot to try to get ahead of the infrastructure repairs. And
so you'd be following along in that kind of same thing?
My understanding is 2021, with this next budget, will probably be the largest infrastructure investment that the city has made probably in the last decade. Okay, so I think that's awesome. Are we going to be able to continue at that level? Not with the current funding sources. You know, so we're going to have to be careful, but the other side that we're hearing, right, is from a national level, there's talk about infrastructure improvements throughout the country. Well, believe me, Quincy's ready with shovel-ready projects. So if we find out there's dollars available through a federal program, there's dollars available through a state program, believe me, Quincy's going to be applying for those extra dollars.
Being shovel ready is critically important. You're right. Let's move on to jobs. And boy, you know, roads we can see and ride and we open our tap and, you know, we get our water. But jobs, it's that unusual thing because I have Marcel Wagner from Gretifon every month. And every month he says, we need welders, we need nurses. I mean, I've been a news reporter in this market now for over 30 years, and I've been reporting on a nursing shortage for every single one of those years. So we know what jobs we need. What can the mayor of Quincy do to make sure we have enough welders, enough nurses, enough electricians, whatever we need?
I think the one thing is really coordinating with everyone in the healthcare because they have common needs, just like the industry. Each, you know, there's multiple businesses that need welders. There's multiple businesses locally that need machine operators, et cetera. Well, each of those entities are advertising, recruiting independently. I think Quincy can pull together and try to say, look, here's all sorts of openings that we have together, and we're not recommending, you know, one organization over another. We just want you to consider Quincy. Come here. In addition to having a, you know, well-paid jobs with, you know, primary wage jobs with benefits, we also have a quality of life in Quincy that's awesome. You know, I'm a lifelong resident of Quincy, okay? My folks, you know, moved here in the early 50s, and it's been our home. There's, you know, I don't look at what all the problems are. I like to talk about the assets that Quincy has. You know, the long art history, the, you know, for a community our size, we've got a little bit of everything. And if we can get people to come here, especially those with families, and they have a job, so they, gee, this is a great employer, look at these businesses, you know, if it's healthcare, industrial, whatever, we have strong educational system, okay? So, you know, you can get, you know, vocational training, you can get college training, you can get master's degrees without leaving the city limits. Quincy has a ton to offer.
Mike Trope, the Republican candidate, one of them for mayor. There'll be a primary race, and we'll hear from his opponent, Paul Havermill, in the second half of the Mary Griffith Show. Your third thing you mentioned was law and order. Let's talk about that, because firefighter and police officer pensions, and I'll throw the firefighters in there too. They don't keep they don't keep the law, but they keep order sometimes. The firefighter and police officer pension is killing our ability to keep our fire and police at full staff. I mean, every time we have somebody that retires, a new one has to come along to replace them, and it just seems like we're always constantly fighting to keep at maximum ability of officers. So when you say you want to promote law and order, what does that mean, Mike Trope?
Well, you know, I've met with the police chief, and I've met with other the police union, and I've met with the firefighter union to talk about, you know, some of those issues. The pension issue specifically.
It's a state issue.
It's a state issue.
The mayor can't solve that,
no.
But you have to deal with
it.
Yeah,
and believe me, I understand the difference between a 401k plan and a pension plan. Quincy does not have the choice to say we're going to put our police and fire, you know, police officers, et cetera, on a 401 type plan. That's a state decision. Our police officers and our firefighters have earned their pension. Quincy has an obligation to pay the pension. Now, for decades, Quincy has not kept up with the payments into that program. I've fixed problems like that in the private industry. I believe I've got plans as to how we could do that without spending the $101 million underfunded liability that we have to come $100 million out of the taxpayers' money. There are some other ways. Now, the problem is government works differently than the private businesses. So we're going to need the state to amend some rules that will allow us to look at those financial tools to help repair that problem.
The state will have to solve the problem. The mayor of Quincy, unfortunately, has to deal with the mandate. Real quickly, because we are running out of time, and I want to give you a closing statement. Would your solution to some financial problems be to close a fire station or to reduce the number of police officers? And really, those are two, they're not really two questions, because if you reduce the number of firefighters, you automatically close a station. The fire station doesn't fight the fire, the firefighters do. So basically, are you anticipating that in order to pay a living wage to the existing firefighters and police officers, you may have to attrition and reduce the number to save money?
That's not a priority of mine. I don't think that is something that the numbers today are, you know, shining light on. I think we can maintain the staff levels. I don't know. I know the police chief would like to see us get, I think, to closer to 80 officers instead of around 70, 73 that we have today. I don't know that we can do that.
Some days
either.
We struggle to have 73.
Correct.
Yeah,
okay,
so, I mean, 80 is great, but let's try to beat a 73.
What I've told, you know, each department, you know, I want to sit down, I want to listen to what the issues are. Just because I support law and order doesn't mean you're going to present, you know, I get elected mayor, you're going to put in front of me, here's your wish list. I'm not the rubber stamp. We're going to take a financial look, evaluate it. What can we afford? What's, you know, fiscally responsible? What's financially affordable, and then we'll make those decisions.
Okay. Mike Trope, thank you so much for your time today. I want to give you kind of your 1 minute talk about anything you want that I wasn't smart enough to ask or your closing remarks. Just why should people vote for you?
Yeah, I think as you study all the candidates, you know, I've had an open book. Please check me out. Google me. Take a look. I believe I've got a very strong, solid background, not only in the financial area, but also in the management area. My public service has been strong, working, you know, currently on the school board, working on Greta's board, working for the ambulance for 12 years, working at the county board. Check out myself, check out my opponents, and make a comparison. We have different backgrounds, and I'm very comfortable with my responsibilities that I've had, my reputation, my integrity, the honest service, and I will keep those qualities as mayor with transparency to the public if you elect me to serve as your next mayor.
Okay, first the primary, then we'll have you back if you prevail. Up next, Paul Havermill, but first we have to stop and head up to the IRSA Farmers Cooperative. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. This is the Mary Griffith Show, and today we're devoting our coverage to the Republican candidates for mayor. Their primary is coming up. We just heard from Mike Tropin. Now it's Paul Havermill's turn. Welcome.
Good morning, Mary.
I'm so glad to have you here. Let's talk first. What is your vision for the city of Quincy?
I think when people talk about vision, sometimes it's hard to define what vision means to certain people or to every individual. My vision for Quincy is to capitalize on a number of the positives that we already have in place and maintain and enhance our core services that the city provides so we can leverage what I call want-to-do or development-type projects in the future. So my vision is let's stabilize where we're at, let's see what the challenges we faced have come through, and how that's going to affect us moving forward. And basically what I would really like to do, and the main vision I have, is I want to make an administration and a city government where people feel engaged and valued. We've come up with a small little slogan that says, you know, Quincy is us. And by that, I mean Quincy is us and all of us. And I want every part of the city and every citizen of the city to feel like they can come to the city, come to City Hall or the mayor's office, and they're welcome, and we will listen, and we will try to take care of their challenges. But we will also try to create a city and move a city forward that meets their needs.
What is your background, and why do you feel you're particularly the best candidate to become the next mayor of Quincy?
Well, first off, with my background, I'll start off by saying I'm a regular guy. I'm not this squeaky clean politician that's, you know.
Are there any squeaky clean politicians?
Well, I don't know. And I don't really consider myself a politician, although I've been in politics for a long time locally. You know, my background is that I've worked for what started out as a small family business since 1988. The company has gone through some ownership changes. It's expanded quite a bit. We have three locations right now, working on some more. I work as the national accounts manager for that, so I travel quite a bit with that job. On the personal side, I have a background. I was in leadership positions in the military before that. And, of course, I served on the city council for 16 years as a Republican alderman from Quincy's 3rd Ward. And during that service, I served on most of the major committees that are involved with the city, finance, utilities. I was served on the city representative to the ambulance board for a number of years. I served as the negotiating team with the jail committee to get this jail downtown, helped with that, with a number of other people, of course. And we also negotiated getting the police department co-located there. I served on the fire aldermanic committee as chairman, the central business district revolving loan chairman. You know, I can go on, and you kind of get the gist of that. But I think my specific experience with city issues, coupling that with you know, being in the business community, the small business community, and then also a lot of my community involvement has allowed me to you know the city very well. I know I have a broad base of networking opportunities. you know, from coaching baseball at the Y and Park District and all that, and being on, you know, St. Dominic PTO for years, and the president of that, being involved with Teens Encounter Christ, serving on various capacities at St. Peter's Church, just basically community involvement. I have business involvement, business experience, and obviously the direct city experience, which I think makes me ready to hit the ground running day one in the mayor's office.
You are the only one that has served in direct city government that is running on any of the candidates, Democrat or Republican.
Correct.
Let's talk about your top three priorities. I'll try to ask you mirror the question. you know, obviously there'll be some give and take, but what,
sure.
What do you think are your top three priorities, or what are the things that the top three things that concern you or you want to get done, or however you want to phrase that?
Well, you know, as I said, I've been around city politics for a long time, city government, and every campaign I've been involved with, you know, the topics are basically the same. I want to support infrastructure, because that's something people see, and infrastructure to me is the not just the streets, but it is the streets, the curbs, sidewalks, our water distribution system, which is vital. I've had a lot of experience with that on the Utilities Committee. And then also a thing that we don't talk about a lot that's not super fun to talk about is like our waste.
The sewer. The
sewer system. Yeah, I was trying to come up with a better word.
There's no polite way to say it. Just say it.
And so there are some challenges with that that we're working on, and I've been fortunate enough to be in on the ground level, no pun intended, of some of these things, and I know where we started, I know what we're working on, and I know where we need to go. So I think that that's a big deal. So like I say, infrastructure is going to be key. It was during when I was a city council person. It will be as mayor. Police and fire are another services that the city provides that aren't easily provided by the private sector, of course. And then the other side of it is, again, I want to make sure that we have a city government that is open and engaged with all of our citizens. I would like to do a takeoff of what Mayor Moore has done with his, lunch in the park with the mayor and those kind of things. I would like to suggest that we will have an open door policy, of course, which means you can come in without an appointment. I would like to expand the ability of the citizens to address the council a little bit more openly than what we do now, which this is a big improvement over what it was when I first started. But I would like to expand that and make it at every meeting and make it a little bit less cumbersome for them to sign up. I would like to have a monthly open forum for people to come in and talk directly to the mayor. So, like I said, I think, you know, the three main things I want to concentrate on are infrastructure, public safety, and openness and transparency.
Okay. Well, let's get to those things. One thing, the sales tax revenue for the city of Quincy has been declining, at least for the last 2 years. And, of course, that is how a lot of these projects and things are funded. Would you be in favor of any kind of increase in sales tax to offset some of that decline in revenue?
The simple answer is no. Sales tax is the largest component of our general fund revenue. When I was on city council, I worked on sustainability committee with a number of other aldermen and city staff. We looked at a number of options about how the city operates and also about what revenues we have in the mix of revenues. I think we need to reinstate that, finish the work of the sustainability committee and get some of those options before the committee so we can discuss it and before the community. Sales tax, being a border city, to play with sales tax a whole lot, to me, puts us at a competitive disadvantage, and I'm not in favor of that at all.
What about property taxes, the other, leg of the milking stool, I guess,
Property taxes in Quincy right now go to three things. It goes to pensions, debt, and our library. Those are the only three things funded out of property tax. To sit here and say that we're going to take major changes in property tax on the pension side is probably not feasible. But the one thing we can do, those are choices that we make as a city of what goes in there. Now, there's only certain things allowed to be paid with property tax, but we can certainly augment that with other revenues or other mixes of revenues. What I would like to do, again, as an offshoot of the sustainability committee that we worked on, is talk about what we pay with what. I think we need a top-to-bottom review in which the sustainability committee started, but we need to finish it, of everything we tax, the full mix of the taxes and how we do business. That was, we had a good start on that. We need to get everybody engaged in that. I have my own ideas, but I'm one person. You know, I can certainly facilitate that and lead on the issues that come up. But we have to look at new ways of doing this, and we don't know what the new looks like yet. We don't know what our revenues are going to look like when we get on the other side of COVID. We don't know what's going to come back yet. And I think, it's all speculation at this point. Now, naturally, every budget we put together is speculation, frankly. But we can see some, maybe do a year or two trend. I think we need to make sure that we don't have any net increase in taxes for the next couple of years. Hopefully, we can do that on property tax as well. I'm not sure that we can with rising pension costs.
Let's talk about police and fire, because the pension, of course, is something the city has to pay, but they have no control over. That's the state. So the state gives the mayor of Quincy an almost impossible task and says, here, you solve it. But when it comes to police and fire, and you put that number two in public safety, do you foresee, closing a fire station? Because fire stations don't fight fires. Firefighters do. So if how are you going to pay? Do you see a reduction in force in the fire department, in the police department, in both, to curb some of the expense? Or how do you propose keeping what we have existing with the revenue we have?
Well, I support police and fire, and I think my record on council, supports that statement. But having said that, obviously you have to look at everything every year and see where you're at. To answer your question very directly, no, we will not. That will not be anything on my plate to reduce our police and fire departments at all moving forward. They have challenges, and giving them fewer resources to meet those challenges, especially with new legislation that just came out on the police side, no. I will not push that at all, and I would not even really hopefully have to entertain that unless there's something changes drastically. Now, on the station closing issue, that's a staffing issue. We did have a budget a few years ago, and this has gone around in this campaign, so I want to get this cleared up right now. There was a budget that did call for a reduction in spending in our departments that the administration put forward. And to pass the budget, we passed the budget, and one of the ways that they met the budget number in the police department was to close Station 6, which is in my ward at the time. I made the promise when we did that I would vote for the budget, but if revenues came in better, that we would open that back up and we would do it as quickly as possible, because it did have a significant impact on response times in the ward that I represented. And that's what people need to remember, is that we try to balance out those response times with the staffing that we have, because every 30 seconds of fires in engulfed, it spreads exponentially, it doubles. So when we saw where revenues are going, my fellow Alderman Tom Ernst and I pressured the administration to start those conversations, and I'm proud to say we got Station 6 reopened. Going through that process makes me realize that we have to be extremely careful in public safety about what we do and how we fund it, because frankly, when you talk about changing those revenue or changing the amount we spend on that, you're talking about bodies for the most part. So, and when you talk about bodies, then you start talking about, well, if we don't have enough people to staff the stations, we have to reduce the stations. So that's something we have to be very careful with, and we have to make sure that we look at all the unintended consequences of that. I've gone through that process before. I know what to look for, and I know how we need to address that.
The other thing you talked about was open government, and Mr. Trope didn't talk about that, and so I don't know how to ask you a follow-up question per se, but I will say this. The mayor leads, but the aldermen actually run the city of Quincy. So how do you propose, if you were elected mayor, how do you get along with 14 members who have their own agendas, their own wards, their own personal things they want to see? It might be recycling. It might be more for the library. It might be the riverfront development. Everybody's got their pet project. How does the mayor keep all that going and still be transparent in government?
The mayor always has to, and the mayor and the city council always have to work together. If you look at the flow chart of how the city operates, you're right. The city council is first in line, and then it's you know, the executive, the elected executive office holders, and then the department heads. So, you know, you always have to work with the council. I would like to think that having been on council, I understand their challenges. I understand that they get pressures for things that are relatively specific to their ward, rather than it may not be what, you know, Ward 4 wants, may not be what Ward 3 wants. And we have to balance that. But I do think a huge advantage that I have is a number of the aldermen that are in office I've either worked with long-term or short-term. And as in any organization, we may get along at times, we may not. But I would like to think that I had proven myself to anybody that's there that I will at least talk and listen and offer suggestions that can move the projects or issues forward. And I would leverage that, I hope, mutual respect to each other to get the job done.
Give you your final remarks, your last chance to say whatever you'd like to say that I wasn't smart enough to ask you. And just to close it out, I'm sure you want to ask people to vote for you.
Absolutely. Like I say, I think the biggest issue and the biggest advantage that I bring to the table, as I said before, I'm not a perfect person. I've been through some bumps and swerves in my road of life, but I believe, you know, you wake up every day, you do better, and you try to make the world a better place. I do know that no matter what was going on in my life or anything else that was going on, I did the job of alderman very well, and I take it very serious. I absolutely love the city of Quincy. I have recent and relevant experience that makes me ready to be mayor and run the city and help run the city, I should say, on day one. I would ask everybody out there to vote for Paul Havermill in the Republican primary on February 23rd.
Thank you very much, Paul Havermill. Thanks to our previous guest, Mike Trope. The decision is in your hands, Republicans of Quincy.